The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
1600 Pennsylvania, yeah. It's our house, come on, turn it up.
You're gonna be in D.C., you can come on in.
Come on in.
I got a ranch in this branch of the government.
Executive branch.
Here this morning, on President's Day weekend at Rosie on the House, we're talking about your house, the house you own, the White House, 55,000 square feet. The home where our president lives. I understand when Trump first got elected, he said, this place is a dump. And he was commuting from his penthouse in New York by helicopter back and forth. And I guess that didn't go very well. But a lot of presidents have put a personal touch on the building.
I think that's part of it. You have to add something, don't you?
I don't know. Nixon puts in a one-lane bowling alley in the basement. Gerald Ford.
I still want to see... We're going to be there when
George comes back.
Yeah, and say, hey, what do you? What's his first guess that a bowling lane is for? What's the purpose and function of this, structure here? What do you think his answer would be?
What would he think of Gerald Ford's outdoor swimming pool? What would he think of Ronald Reagan's exercise room? What would he think of Bill Clinton's music room? What would he think, or Bill Clinton's hot tubs that he had installed, or the Bushes? Redid the family theater and added dog kennels. I mean, they all make their touch. I understand Barack Obama converted a tennis court and put some backboards up on either end.
Right.
So I guess you're allowed to go in and kind of personalize it one way or another.
What did Trump do? Do we know?
I don't know, but I just remember when he first got in office, he said, this place is a dump. I'm gonna live in my own house.
Much more opulent surroundings than he is used to at the Trump Towers than at the White House.
And didn't the residents of Trump Towers kind of protest and say, we're really tired of the security here. We'd like our house back.
And the front street. And yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff that went on with that. But because security was a big issue of there. So the White House has, important security measures.
Well, we do.
And I've known some of those people on security detail. And it's very interesting. I mean, they only let Secret Service. You can only be assigned to the same person for so long. So there's never an attachment that happens. And the rotation of security personnel.
Interesting.
It's pretty extensive.
Well, I think America owes John F. and Jacqueline Kennedy a big thank you. They really, upon getting elected and moving in, Jacqueline really took over a massive renovation project of the home, turning it into a museum.
Right. Well, it's a collection of different kinds of furniture from all these different years and the artwork and everybody making these kind of changes. She really went on a kind of a concerted effort to conserve and preserve and to recollect and put it as America's House, to showcase it as such. And then through that process, she got the Historical Commission to actually recognize it as a museum. So it gets that designation of a museum certification.
And then she shares it on national television.
Right. On Valentine's Day, 1962, she had a national broadcast, which everybody tuned into.
80 million people tuned in to watch on ABC News.
I do miss that about TV when everybody watched something and would share it. We don't have that. There's so many choices now. But can you imagine the whole country just sitting there hanging on her every word?
And you can still see it at YouTube. So I would encourage you, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a great lesson on the White House.
Right. And with the preservation, it prevents all that stuff from showing up on eBay in case somebody wants to buy the Lincoln bedroom or something like that. All that'll make all that illegal now that it's a preserved museum.
And Mrs. Lincoln actually did do a lot of that. I mean, in destitution, she was actually, as I recall in history, she was actually selling a lot of the stuff.
Right. Right, to make a few extra dollars along the way, because they don't pay the president a whole lot, considering all the stuff that he has to do. And if Congress doesn't appropriate them budgets for all that stuff, then it comes out of their own pocket.
I've got a question. I told you I'd get on a bunny trail and off track. Wall Street Journal had an article this week of the homes of the Democratic primary candidates. I know what these senators make. I know what the mayor of Midwest town make. I don't know, but I have a good idea. Only Peter lives in a modest home. How do you live in the salary of a senator and have a $5 million home? Or $40 million?
Or multiple $5 million
Or $40 million in real estate assets?
That's Edwin Edwards' response. I guess I'm just a good investor, Shaw.
I think I'm seeing a no comment face over here. I always have to rein him in.
I don't want to be political. So.
Yeah.
Millionaires.
So you know what we're going to have you come back for, though, we haven't talked about? We talked about visiting places and things. It's Fort McHenry in Baltimore, the site where the, you know, Francis Scott Key witnessed the bombing that and wrote the what became our you know,
national anthem,
the Star-Spangled Banner. Yeah. That fort site, every American just needs to go sit at
and visit the actual flag at the National Smithsonian.
Dr. David Dean.